Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
John chapter 1. John 1 verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Notice that Jesus, this baby that was born that became flesh, is God from eternity past. He existed before the flesh. Because notice it says he became flesh. He always was. Even before he became flesh, he was. Hebrews 10 verse 5. And I love Hebrews 10. Notice this, verse 5. "Therefore, when he came into the world." Notice that. When he came into the world. He came from somewhere, didn't he? In other words, before he showed up in the world, in the stable, he was somewhere already. And he came into the world. "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, how many people know when the baby Jesus was born, he probably didn't have much he could say, right? Babies don't really have much to say, do they? I mean, they'll make some noise and they'll cry, but they really can't speak. They can't say anything. Articulate their words. And yet here it says, when he came into the world, he said. So he was talking before Mary ever taught him to talk. Before he uttered a word as a human being in the flesh, he said something. He said, notice what he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." Let me read this from the DLNT translation. That's the Disciples' Literal New Testament. "Therefore, while entering the world, he says, you did not desire sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me." So before he had a body, he was talking about the body that God, the Father, had prepared for him. The Amplified Bible says, "Therefore, when Christ enters into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but instead, you have prepared a body for me to offer." So Jesus was already talking, and he knew what he was getting into when he came into this world. These words are recorded by the Spirit of God, letting us know that Jesus is God from eternity past, and that he existed well before 2,000 years ago, when he showed up here in this world in a flesh body. He said, you have prepared a body. So before he had a body, he was. He still existed. I don't know, I just love that. I just think that is just so awesome and so powerful when we get to see that side of it. You know, before the baby in the manger, there he is. We got a glimpse of him talking, saying things, speaking before he ever showed up here. And he was saying things while he was coming. While he was coming into the world. He was saying some things about it. And he says here that his body was prepared and given to him that it might be a sacrifice. That it might be used as a sacrifice so that he can offer it up to God as a sacrifice for you and I. And of course, you go back to what we just read over in Luke, how it says that they took the baby and wrapped him in swaddling clothes or cloths. And it's interesting there because when you look up the swaddling cloths, it's talking about these strips of linen cloths, which is exactly what they used when they buried people. You see that over in John chapter 19, verse 40. John 19, 40. It says they took the body of Jesus after he had been crucified and bound it in strips of linen with the spices as the custom of the Jews is to bury. So that was their custom to wrap the body, to mummify the body with these strips of linen. And that's exactly what we see Jesus, his baby body being wrapped in right after being born. Because he was born to die. He was born to be a sacrifice for you and I. In talking about sacrifices, you come back here in Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 4, it says, "For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." In other words, animal blood could not take the sins away of human beings. It wasn't sufficient. So God needed a human body to be a sacrifice for human beings. And it goes on here in verse 6. "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure." Talking about those animal sacrifices. He had no pleasure in that because it couldn't take away the sins of the people. Verse 7. "Then I said, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." In other words, again, we see Jesus talking about his coming into this world. And he says that in the volume of the book, it is written of me. In other words, he came in fulfillment of the scriptures. And all those burnt offerings, all those sacrifices that we see in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant that the Jews brought before God, they were only a type and a shadow, a picture of the one that was to come, who would completely annihilate sin from the human race. It was a picture of Jesus. Those sacrifices in themselves didn't get the job done. It just pointed the way to the one who would come and pay the price for all our sins. So that's why those sacrifices were not pleasing to God. But thank God for the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus. That became a pleasing sacrifice to God the Father, his sinless body presented as a sacrifice to God for us, that we might be completely washed of all sin and declared righteous in the sight of God. Verse 10, it says, "By that will," or that word of God, "we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." In other words, his sacrifice was so acceptable, so sufficient, that it was a one-time sacrifice and it took care of all sin for all mankind forever. One sacrifice took care of it all. And then verse 14 says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." How many people woke up this morning recognizing that you have been perfected? Hallelujah. Right? Yeah, it doesn't matter what kind of imperfections you saw in the mirror. Doesn't matter what kind of imperfections you saw according to your flesh. Thank God the blood of Jesus makes you perfect, has perfected you in the sight of God. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Again, his flesh body that was prepared for him, given to him, has now perfected us in the sight of God and has enabled us to be able to come into the very holy of holies. Now we can be bold in prayer. We can come and talk to God and know that he hears us. Yes, God hears me. I can come boldly in there knowing he hears me because of Jesus, because of his body, because of his blood that was shed on our behalf. It has enabled us now to be able to come and stand in the very presence of Almighty God, have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to be able to hear from God. That's so good to know that we can hear from God, that not only can we talk to him, but he'll talk to us. God doesn't turn away, and he's not embarrassed by us. Now God will have a conversation with us. God will talk to us. He'll answer us. He's listening to us, and we're not so beneath him that he won't talk to us. God will give us the answers that we need. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the sacrifice of his body. You and I now have an audience with God. We can communicate with him. His body absorbed all our unrighteousness. It was created for that purpose. That's why he, God, came into human form. That's why a body was prepared for him. It was so that that body could grow up and absorb all our unrighteousness, all our sicknesses, all our diseases, everything that is a curse. His body absorbed all of it. For you and I, we see it here in 1 Peter. Hold your place in Hebrews 10, 1 Peter chapter 2. A body was prepared for him for this purpose, right here. Verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body. See, that's why we can stand before God holy and clean, having no sin, because Jesus' body took it. His body bore our sins. He was our scapegoat. He took it for us. He took our sins, and not only that, notice, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Who's living for righteousness in this place? Now, you know, folks living for righteousness may have stumbled in unrighteousness, may have missed the mark, may have sinned, but we're not living for sin anymore, are we? We're not living for ourselves anymore. We're living for righteousness. And if you have sinned, when you repent, the moment you repented of the sin, you died to the sin. The moment you confessed it, identified it as sin, you died to it. You took it and applied it to the cross, to the body that absorbed it for you, so that no longer do you bear it. We're not to be bearing sin in our body. I said we're not to be bearing sin in our body. We're not to be carrying that. Jesus bore it in his body. And so therefore we're not, of course, to suffer the consequences of those sins. One of those consequences is sickness, a sick body. a weak, feeble, broken down body. Because he goes right on here in verse 24 again, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins, or we having repented and thus died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By those stripes, those wounds that were placed upon his flesh, upon his body, you were healed in your body. His body was struck with sickness. It bore our sin and took our sicknesses, took our infirmities, so that your body can be healthy, can be strong. He became cursed so you could be blessed. Not just spiritually, but in the body. I mean, this really puts things in perspective, doesn't it? I mean, here he is. He is very much alive and powerful and active. He is creating things. Nothing that was made without him. And yet he didn't have a body. Can you imagine that? Here he is creating the world. Everything that we see is a result of him. And yet he didn't have a body. Just goes to show, you know, all we've known is life in the body. And so we think, what would life, I mean, what are we going to be without a body? Just a bunch of vapor clouds? I mean, what? And people are afraid of losing their body. They're afraid of dying, you know, because, I mean, are we really going to be able to experience life? Are you kidding me? Jesus is life. And he was creating all things before he ever had a body. So when you leave your body, man, you're going to experience life to another whole level. You're not going to miss out on anything. And we have to remind ourselves that we are like him. We are spirits living in these physical bodies. A body has been prepared for you. You are not the body. This body has been prepared for you so that you can do what he did. Offer it up as a sacrifice to him. Glorify him in your body here on the earth. I mean, suffer in the flesh, not from sickness and disease. No, he bore that in his so you could be healed. But suffer in the flesh, resisting sin, resisting sickness, resisting the works of the devil. And that glorifies God. That shows our faith in him and what he did for us. And that's how we're to live our life. But we got to watch about thinking all there is are these bodies and we're afraid of leaving them. Life only gets better. We'll be amazed how much these bodies have restricted us, held us back, and kept us from being able to see all that there was around us to see. I mean, thank God for these bodies. I mean, we need them while we're in this world. But we are spirit beings living in these bodies. These bodies are just something that was given to us to use. It's a tool. It's equipment. Your body is just earth equipment. And you're a spirit being. So the body of Jesus was given to him. And he gave it for us. That body was prepared for him. Given to him, and he gave it for you and I. And we see that over in Luke chapter 22. Luke, the 22nd chapter. When we're looking at the nativity, and we're thinking about Jesus and his coming into this world, it's just good to remind ourselves of who he is. And that he didn't start 2,000 years ago. He's from eternity past. He always was, and he always will be. And you think about this. This is just so awesome. That God, who created all things with his words, would come down here and put on a body and walk around like a human being and have to learn how to talk, have to learn how to walk, how to grow up just like a human being. I mean, what a humble God. The Bible tells us in Psalms that he humbles himself just to behold the things that are in the heavens. I mean, you think about the heavens, you think about some of these planets out there, some of these stars. I mean, some of these planets will make Earth look microscopic. I mean, they're massive, they're huge, they're impressive. But to God, he has to humble himself to look at it. He has to come way down to look at the things in the heavens. Well, think about how far he had to come down to come into this world, this little golf ball floating around out there. This is the place he picked to come into. And then he didn't stop there. Then he put on a human body, took on the form of a man, and walked this earth. This speaks of the humility of God and the love that God has for you and I, that he would do this, that he would come down here and do this with a purpose to save you and I, to deliver you and I. That's why he did it. And then it gets even worse. Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, then he submitted himself to sinners, demons, to beat him, afflict, spit on him, mock him, and be nailed to a cross. I mean, this is the love of God for you and I. Does he care about us? Yes. Every detail of your life, he cares about it. He redeemed us fully in our spirit, in our souls, and in our body. He has provided salvation for every part of our being. Every part of us, he has given his life to save us, to deliver us. Yes, he wants you healthy. He wants you strong. He wants you able to run your race and fulfill the word of God for your life. Fulfill the scriptures. Fulfill what is written of you. God's got a specific plan and purpose for you. And he wants you to fulfill it. And he's here helping us to do it. I said he's helping us do it. Can you say amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When you actually look up reasonable service, it also means worship. The New International Version says, which is your spiritual act of worship. This is how you worship God today, by presenting your body, your vessel, as a living sacrifice to him. I like what Paul the Apostle said over in, I think it's 1 Corinthians. He says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Bring it into subjection to what? Bring it into subjection to me, because I'm not the body. I discipline my body. I like how it's worded. He didn't say I discipline myself. He says I discipline my body, showing that I'm not a body. That's just something that was prepared for me. That's just a vessel that I live in. That's just my earth equipment. And now I'm going to dominate it. I'm going to control. Wouldn't it be sad if your car controlled you? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? You know, the car doesn't want to go. And you're like, I gotta get to church. Car doesn't want to start. Doesn't want to go. It's got a will of its own. It could go. Nothing's broken. It just doesn't want to go. Well, all of a sudden, you know, it just goes. You know, maybe you're putting something in the trunk. And you lean in there and put something in the trunk, and all of a sudden, you know, your hand gets hooked inside there, and a car just says, it's going to go. And you're hanging out the back of the car, and it's dragging you around the city. Man, that'd be a terrible car, don't you? You don't want your car controlling you. You want to control your car, right? You want to go there, set the climate the way you like it, right? Set the speed the way you like it, according to the law. Right? Now, you want to control the car. Well, your body is your vehicle. It's your earth vehicle that you are in. And it'll be really sad that when we step out of these bodies and go to heaven, we find out our vehicle's been running our life for us. The vehicle's been bringing us all over the place. I mean, the cruise control does its own thing, you know. I mean, the speed limit says 55, but it wants to go 25. And you got to be somewhere in 10 minutes. And the speed controller says, no, we're just doing 25. I just want to do 25. And you can't do anything about it. That's how it is for a lot of people's bodies. Their bodies are telling them, I don't want to get up. I don't want to pray. Okay. I don't want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. And the spirit man's in there going, okay, getting run around by the body. I think it'll be a whole lot easier to get control of that thing when we recognize it is not us. It's a part of us, but it's not us. It's our vehicle. We just live in it. And when you realize you live in it, you understand you are a whole lot more important than it, because you're going to be around forever. They're going to bury this thing someday. Now, God's so good, he's redeemed it, so when he returns, it's going to be raised up. And it's going to be made incorruptible, immortal. Thank God for that. That's going to be exciting. But we understand, until then, it's going back into the dust. And the real you is going to go on. And thank God you and I are going to go on into glory because of Jesus, because of his coming. Because of the salvation that he provided for, number one, our spirit. Now through him, we are born again, born of God, born of his spirit, one spirit with him now. So we're going to live forever. Glory to God. And this body is going to be taken off, and it's going to be buried, and it's going to decay, and it's become dust. There's a big difference between you and this body that's going to become dust. Big difference. Don't put yourself on the same level as your body. Don't limit your value to earthly things. You were created for eternal things, heavenly things. You are spirit beings, born of God, having been washed in the blood of Jesus, the righteousness of God. So we now can come boldly before God's throne. We can commune with him, receive from him the things we have need of in this life, and take charge over these bodies. Present these bodies as a sacrifice to God, as an offering to God. Notice what he says here in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 5. He says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Well, what are these spiritual sacrifices that we are to offer up to God? Well, if you come over to Galatians chapter 5, we can see some of these sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices that we are to offer up to God. And in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. I'm talking about spiritual sacrifices. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, not long faces. Well, that's true, praise the Lord. You know, if you got a long face, I'm not saying anybody does here today, but if you ever find yourself with a long face, then you know that's something to fix, because that's the sign of a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. In other words, you're not walking in the Spirit. That's the problem. You're not walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, there's going to be joy. Right? Joy to the world. Joy to the world. Peace on earth. Long faces. Long suffering. See, it all goes together. His joy is our strength. Because we have peace, we can put up with stuff. We can suffer long. We're not impatient. We're not getting frustrated. We got peace. God's peace keeps us in our proper place. Keeps us in our proper place. And now we're long suffering. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. How people know all these spiritual fruits come forth through our bodies in this world. Right? They come through our body in this world. They're not of the body. These things do not originate in the body. I'm talking about real joy. Doesn't originate in the body. Now, there's a joy of this world that, you know, is just superficial, and it just reacts to a pay raise or something like that, or a compliment, you know. That's a superficial, but we're talking about a spiritual joy. We're talking about a spiritual peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that is there and a joy that is there regardless of the physical conditions, regardless of the physical circumstances. You've got joy, you've got peace, you're kind, you maintain goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are all the fruits of the Spirit, but they all have to be worked through our bodies. So in order for that to be, we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice so that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. We want to offer up spiritual sacrifices to Him, which is what? Which are these things right here? Things that proceed from the Spirit. So to do that, we got to take control of the body. You got to stand. Again, none of these things originate in your body. These things don't come from the body. He tells you the things that originate in the flesh. He tells you what the flesh is all about back in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath. Does anybody have any flesh? You know, Jesus took on flesh. Jesus took on flesh. And look at the works of the flesh. They're all these terrible things. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Did we see those things in Jesus' life? Did we see those things coming through his flesh? No. Why? Because he dominated his flesh. He, the Spirit, dominated his flesh so that these things could not dominate him and manifest through him, through his flesh. He controlled it. Instead, he allowed the Spirit man to rise up and release the nature of God that was in there. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the goodness. That's what's in you. If you've been born again, if you have the Spirit of God on the inside of it, you have the nature of God. Do you still have flesh? Yeah. Is the flesh contrary to the Spirit? Yes, it still is. But it doesn't have to dominate the Spirit. I said it doesn't have to dominate the Spirit. And you don't have to go into a depression just because you recognize your flesh has tendencies that are contrary to you. When your flesh wants to say some things, your flesh wants to act a certain way, your flesh wants to go a certain direction. Your flesh says, I feel sick. You said, I'm not. I'm not sick. I'm healed, and I dominate you. I dominate my body. Healing dominates my body. Health dominates my body. Peace dominates my body. Love dominates my body. Joy dominates my body. Hallelujah. What are you going to let dominate you? The flesh or the spirit? We want the flesh, the spirit to dominate our bodies. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's take control of these things. Don't let your body just run rampant and do whatever it wants to do whenever it wants to do it. Make it ask for permission. Make it ask you permission. Just like Simon says, right? Spirit says, sit down. Spirit say, shut up. Spirit say, peace. Spirit say, and body do. Body do what spirit say, right? Why don't you say that? Say, body do what me, spirit, says. Body do what spirit says. Hallelujah. That's a game we should teach our children. Spirit says. That'd be a good game to teach our children. Praise God. Spirit says. The body does what the spirit says. The spirit is taking control. Can you say amen? So our sacrifice, our spiritual sacrifice that we present to God are these fruits of the spirit working through our bodies that God has prepared and given to you and I. And these bodies, for now, or for a little while, and then we'll put them off. And thank God you and I will be able to live for eternity with God. We're going on forever. We're going on forever. The devil knows he has a short time. I mean, he's trying to get all he can get while the getting's good, and it's running out fast. Because before you know it, he's going to be thrown in a lake of fire, and there's just no hope for him in the future for all eternity. But you and I have eternal hope. We got eternal hope. So we should never feel hopeless. Can you say amen? Oh, glory be to God. Thank God. Have you received the gift of the body of Jesus that was given for you? Now, this is a gift that just keeps on giving because we just keep unwrapping it. We just keep unwrapping and keep discovering what he has done for you and I. What has Jesus done for us by coming? There's so much to be revealed to us. He's made us perfect. That's what we just read there. His body made us perfect. The sacrifice of his body made you and I perfect. Now, there's a lot to that. We are perfect. But it's something we're still discovering. We're still learning. We're still growing in that revelation of who we are in him and what he has created us to be. We're still growing in that. So it's just like unwrapping a gift. You unwrap it and you discover who you are in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And then you walk with him and you unwrap some more. You get in the word, you come to church, you unwrap some more. And you see more of who you are in him. I'm perfect. And you're growing in this revelation of how perfect he has made you. And as you grow in that revelation of how perfect he has made you, then what happens? You begin to walk in that revelation. You begin to walk it out so that now the world begins to see that perfection being lived in the flesh, in this world. He's coming to the world so that you and I can come to heaven. But not just that, he presented his body to every kind of curse so that your body could be blessed, so that you can walk in the fullness of the blessing of God in this life, in this world. Hallelujah. And Jesus says over here in Luke chapter 22 in verse 19, and he took bread He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remember what he's done for you, that his body was given to God as a sacrifice for us. We need to remember that. Remember all that he's done so that we can enjoy all the benefits of it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.